Our third matter this morning, City of Cleveland versus State of Ohio. Mr. Meiser.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, if I may, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. The Ohio Revised Code is replete with provisions governing firearms, who can own them, what kinds of guns they may possess, where they can possess them, how they must be licensed, and so on. The General Assembly has also determined that gun laws need to be uniform throughout the state in order to protect the fundamental right to bear arms in self-defense. And so Revised Code 9.68 provides that gun ownership and possession may be regulated only by state and federal law, not local ordinance, because that provision is part of the comprehensive scheme regulating firearms in the state of Ohio. It is a general law that does not offend home rule, and this court, therefore, should uphold it against the home rule challenge from the City of Cleveland.
Mr. Meiser, is Ohioans for Concealed Carry, Inc. versus Clyde the case that determines the outcome here?
I think that the Clyde case is highly instructive. I don't necessarily think it's 100% dispositive, but I think that the court's discussion of 9.68 in the Clyde case very much instructs that it is a general law that is part of a broad, comprehensive scheme regulating firearms. And indeed, the court said in Clyde that there is a comprehensive handgun law in the state that includes not only the concealed carry provisions, but also the other provisions in 2923 and other chapters of the revised code that regulate firearms, including individuals who are disqualified from owning guns, the types of guns that those individuals can own, of course, under the concealed carry regime, where they may take those guns. So there is a general law, and Clyde is very instructive in that regard.
Counsel, the appellee in this case seems to assert that unless this is all enacted as part of the same statute, essentially the same time, or at least all put together in the same, you know, chapter together, that you don't have a comprehensive statute. What is your response to that?
The response, Your Honor, is that that's not consistent with this court's prior decisions. In AFSA, for instance, this court upheld against a home rule challenge a provision labeled by the General Assembly a preemption provision that was not in the same chapter of the revised code as the other predatory lending provisions that the court said were part of the same comprehensive scheme. And then there were the Claremont case and the Ohio detectives cases in which the courts rejected home rule challenges where provisions that were part of the same scheme were enacted at different times. So there is no contemporaneity requirement for finding that a comprehensive regime exists. And indeed, that wouldn't make much sense because the General Assembly, of course, is going to come back from time to time and add to a regulatory regime or amend that regime. And in order for a regime to be comprehensive, that is the way it's often going to work. And so that requirement that both Cleveland and the amici push and that the 8th District also pushed doesn't make any sense in light of the way comprehensive legislation is written. The City of Cleveland here also argues that the provision is invalid because it's nothing more than a preemption provision, and the General Assembly doesn't have broad preemption authority. And we agree that under the Home Rule Doctrine, there's not an ability on behalf of the General Assembly simply to preempt without more. But that's not what this statute does. This statute is part of a comprehensive scheme. The Canton four-part general law test applies. This is not a preemption case. The question is whether the General Assembly, as part of a comprehensive scheme, can provide that its regulatory regime is exclusive. And that's what the court upheld in the AFSA case, American Financial Services Association, where it held that as part of the predatory lending regime, the General Assembly could provide that the state's predatory lending laws are exclusive vis-a-vis local predatory lending laws. The same was true in the Claremont Environmental case and in the Ohio Private Detectives Association case. So the General Assembly here has done nothing more than what was upheld in those prior cases, which is to set a ceiling on gun laws. And the General Assembly has said that state and federal law place restrictions on gun rights and on firearm possession, but that localities cannot raise the ceiling on those gun regulations. And that is not a preemption provision. That is an exclusivity provision that is fully consistent with the prior home rule decisions from this court. The other aspects of the Canton four-part general law test are also easily satisfied here, just as they were in Clyde. The regime governing firearms operates uniformly throughout the state. Everyone has certain rights and certain restrictions on their ability to possess and own handguns. That is true across the state. And indeed, that is the whole point of revised code 9.68, to ensure that gun rights and gun ownership and that fundamental right to own guns is uniform throughout the state. The 8th District had an additional concern about the 8th District also found that the 9.68 offended separation of powers, and Cleveland is pressing that argument here as well, on the theory that by shifting fees to challengers of the law, the General Assembly had infringed upon the separation of powers. That argument goes to home rule. It doesn't go to separation of powers. Separation of powers is a horizontal doctrine, and it's about the relationships of the coordinate branches. If, as Cleveland argues, the problem with this law is that it's coercing the cities into not having local gun restrictions, that's a home rule problem. That's a vertical problem. It's not a horizontal separation of powers problem. It's home rule that protects cities, including Cleveland, from any sort of coercion. And the home rule doctrine is not offended here because this law is part of the general regulatory scheme.
Mr. Meiser, I want to go back to some of the cases that there's a line of precedent with Lindale, with Youngstown versus Evans, with Canton, that say that you can't merely prohibit municipal lawmaking, that there has to be a prescription also on conduct of citizens. How does 9.68 does 9.68 do that, or how do you distinguish 9.68 from that line of cases?
I think this is exactly like the Ohio detectives case, where the court said if you take the exclusivity provision in and of itself, no, it doesn't establish a right that is consistent with the home rule doctrine. So if you take 9.68 in and of itself, we acknowledge that there would be home rule problems. But this court has also said in a whole raft of cases that you don't take it in isolation. You take it in pari materia with the other provisions of which it is a part. And when you take 9.68 together with all of the provisions in Chapter 2923 and other chapters of the revised code that relate to handgun ownership, to concealed carry, to firearm restrictions, to who may own firearms, it is part of a comprehensive scheme. And in Claremont and Ohio detectives and in AFSA itself and in Clyde, the court took the cases provisions together and then said that regulatory regime read in pari materia satisfies the Canton four-part general law test.
Isn't this considerably broader, I guess, in your reach of the comprehensive scheme than those cases that you've cited? Here, the comprehensive scheme necessarily would encompass federal laws, state laws, all enacted various times and ways for different purposes, and you want to suggest, I think more broadly than those cases you cite, that this is a comprehensive legislative scheme?
The AFSA case, I think, is squarely on point in that regard, Your Honor, because there the court was looking not only at the predatory lending at the predatory lending regime, which was contained within a chapter of the revised code, but then also at the provision at issue, which was in a different chapter of the revised code, that provided that predatory lending regime is and shall be exclusive vis-a-vis local laws. And so this is no different in terms of the scope of exclusivity and in terms of the scope of comprehensiveness, I think that's a virtue, not a vice, that the General Assembly has thought about various aspects of firearm ownership and possession, and it has regulated many, many aspects of that, and that is of that ownership and possession. And that is the very definition of comprehensive. And so if this court were to conclude that a law fails the Canton general law test because it is too broad, then the General Assembly's legislative authority will be greatly restricted. And in fact, the comprehensiveness component of Canton would be turned on its head.
I'm still stuck on vertical versus horizontal. That's a new one to me. Could you explain it again?
Sure. In the Hochhausler case, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, the court explained that the separation of powers doctrine is about the relationship among and between the coordinate branches of government, this court and the General Assembly and the executive branch. The Cleveland argument here is different. It's not a separation of powers argument in terms of coordinate branches. Cleveland's argument is that there's a separation of powers problem because the state law at issue here, 9.68, is coercive vis-a-vis Cleveland because it's forcing Cleveland and other municipalities it's coercing them into not having local gun laws. If that's true, and we would contest that, it's not coercive. It's just a flat ban in 9.68. But even assuming there's a problematic coercion there, that's not a separation of powers issue. It's a home rule issue. And because the home rule test is satisfied here under Canton, the separation of powers doctrine doesn't have any traction.
Well, I understand that. I still don't understand horizontal versus vertical. But never mind on that. What are these terrible offensive ordinances that would not be possible for Cleveland to have? What do they do?
Cleveland identifies several ordinances at pages 5 to 6 of its brief. To give one example, they have an assault weapons ban that is more restrictive than 2923 is. They also have a registration requirement for handgun owners, and state law has neither state nor federal law has a similar registration requirement for handguns. And so because those ordinances attempt to raise the ceiling on gun ownership and possession rights, they are precluded. If I may reserve the balance of my time, Your Honor, for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Meiser. Mr. Singletary?
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. I'm Gary Singletary. I'm here today, Assistant Law Director for the City of Cleveland. Sitting with me is Robert Chirazi, the City Law Director. Cleveland did challenge 9.68 because we feel and we believe the law substantiates our position in this matter that 9.68 is not a general law, whether you read it in the context of Ohio's firearm laws or whether you read it independently. The fact of the matter is that what the Solicitor General just discussed, I believe he said, it not only coerces us, it bans us from local ordinances governing in the field of firearms. Now, this is a field that since 1912, there's really been no discussion as to whether local laws were in conflict with a state comprehensive plan. In Cincinnati versus Baskin, this court squarely looked at the state's plan, and it discovered that this court found there was no comprehensive set of firearm enactments in upholding Cincinnati's ordinance with regards to semi-automatic rifle bans.
Counsel, I'm a little lost in your argument that it's not comprehensive enough. Are you saying if they preempted any ability of the city to regulate firearms, because now that you can regulate the discharge and the use, but not the registration side, if they regulate every aspect of gun ownership, that they would have the ability to do that?
Your Honor, we would argue that we're not trying to say the state doesn't have a right to pass general laws that would affect firearms and our ability to pass firearm ordinances that would conflict with those laws. But if you look at what the state has done here, the state
Let me clarify. So you're not saying that the state doesn't have the power to regulate firearms. If they had a totally exclusive control, ban, whatever, that covered every aspect and didn't allow the city to regulate it at all, that would be permissible?
Your Honor, I think the question was asked earlier with regards to whether the Clyde case is determinative in this matter. And I think the Clyde case, if you look at it, is very instructive as to what this court views firearm laws and local authority. Now, Clyde...
But Clyde doesn't answer my question.
I'm trying to get there with respect to, we agree the state can pass general laws that regulate in the field of firearms.
Okay. And you're saying that this is not a general law because it is a hodgepodge and therefore not comprehensive. Is that your essence of your one argument?
Well, there's two points, Your Honor, I'd make. First of all is that it's a preemption law, which this court has never upheld with regards to divorcing the city of its authority under Article 18, Section 3. The second is, in relating your question to Clyde, and even AFSA and the other cases addressed, is what this court has always found is a conflict analysis. And what the city is presenting to this court is the fact that there 9.68 itself is merely a preemption. If it's going to pass general laws that regulate in the area of firearms, what it needs to do is pass pertinent legislation that actually regulates and meets the four-part test established in Canton.
Give me an example of what that would be.
We're not challenging the state's right to regulate as a matter of general law concealed carry. That issue was addressed in Clyde. The city abides by the decision of this court with regards to the city of Clyde's law being in conflict, not with 9.68. One of the misconceptions statewide, I think, with regards to what's going on with firearm laws is that somehow 9.68 was upheld by this court in Clyde as a general law that the Clyde ordinance was in conflict with. That's not what this court did. What this court did was look at the specific law passed by the General Assembly discussing where firearms with a concealed carry permit could be carried. Now, this court found that was a comprehensive law, and it found that the Clyde ordinance conflicted with that specific law. So we're not saying that the state can't pass a specific law, but if it does, it has to be one where the court can actually find a conflict. If you look at what the state is attempting here, the state didn't even say it has comprehensive laws in the legislation it passed. What it says is it needs uniformity to protect the constitutional rights and the right to bear arms.
Counsel, if we agree with you, will the Cleveland City Council have to go back and reexamine the ordinances that it has to see which, if any, of those are potentially in conflict with what are now statewide specific enactments of the General Assembly in this arena?
I would agree, Your Honor, that with respect to the city's laws, the city's ordinances have been passed over any number of years.
Right. And they haven't tried to clean that up. Instead, you filed this suit dealing with the attacking the constitutionality of the blanket preemption. So if we agree with you that a blanket preemption is not constitutional, violates the home rule provisions, I assume that you have some ordinances that you might advise your city council appear to be in conflict with specific enactments of the General Assembly in this arena.
Your Honor, I would agree that...
And that hasn't been done at this point. You haven't cleaned it up because first you want a ruling on this and then then that's the next step.
Yes, Your Honor, because really what this law is attempting to do is take Cleveland out of the business of regulating for the safety and general welfare of its own citizens. And the one thing that the Attorney General's office doesn't really address is the fact that Cleveland has numerous laws that do not conflict with any state law. Uniformity is not comprehensivity. If you look, when this court decided the Clyde case, what it looked at was the statewide concern doctrine was read within the Canton test itself, the four parts. And when this court decided Clyde, it looked at uniformity as one of the four parts of the test. We're not contesting that the state has attempted to...
And so if you prevailed, if we adopted your point of view and found that this particular statutory provision, which is just a blanket claim of preemption, is not constitutional when matched up with the home rule provisions. If the Cleveland City Council doesn't review the ordinances that it has on its books after such a favorable ruling, you're going to have further litigation challenging specific ordinances as being in conflict with a statewide enactment of the General Assembly.
That's correct, Your Honor, in the sense that our laws are always subject to being tested as to whether they're in conflict with a general law. And I believe the position you're stating there is that perhaps there are archaic ordinances dealing with, say, concealed carry as a specific issue. But the fact that Cleveland's concealed carry laws, if they were being enforced, may conflict with the general laws of this state, what is of another matter is the fact that, as is raised by the City of Englewood in their amicus brief, is that there are laws that we're not in conflict with, especially, say, public buildings, public property. Now, the state goes over, says it has comprehensive laws dealing with what the city cannot do anymore based on this particular law. Concealed carry law denies one with a concealed carry permit the right to carry into governmental buildings, including local subdivision buildings. But when you switch over to open carry, someone carrying a shotgun, someone carrying a rifle, someone carrying a pistol, what stops them from bringing that particular weapon into City Hall? It's not federal law because federal law goes to federal buildings. It's not state law unless it's a concealed carry law. There is no law other than the city's ordinance that prevents carrying of openly weapons into our City Hall. Our City Hall is not a courthouse. It's not a school.
Or down the street, for that matter, carrying it on public square.
On public square. We have both laws that regulate the carry of firearms in public buildings, property, and also regulate public spaces. The one thing the state fails to recognize, it would seem, is that one size does not fit all. The city tries to protect its citizens through reasonable regulation. The whole premise of 968, that somehow the state legislature is protecting the Constitution, is misplaced from the start because this court has on numerous occasions upheld local registrations, reasonable regulation, as not being in conflict with the Ohio Constitution.
Counsel, I would that raises a question that I have in my mind in terms of the, I guess, the comprehensiveness of the regulation. And do I understand your argument to be that the state would not have a regulation, let's take away the preemption issue, for example, would not have a regulation on certain conduct unless it had a specific provision dealing with that specific conduct, and then it would have to be in the negative, that is some sort of a prohibition of some or all or part of it, as opposed to be able to have an affirmative regulation that says a person shall be able to do this. And I note the 9.608 is at least attempted to be written in the affirmative. A person shall have the right to do this unless there is some other provision by state or federal law. So could you help me understand perhaps how the state could write an affirmative law or regulation giving a person the right to do something? Is that possible, in your view, under the Home Rule power?
It's certainly possible, Your Honor. With regards to if the state wanted to come out with regulations that actually regulated open carry and actually made pronouncements as to the fact that one has the right to open carry into City Hall if one so desires to do that, I think that would be a general law. We would challenge it. But I think with regards to it is a, it's a comprehensive law. It'd be uniformly applied to all city halls across the state. It would establish, it would regulate, it wouldn't be just prohibiting us, and then it would establish a rule of conduct for an individual. Yes, you can open carry your gun into City Hall, have at it.
But the statute could not say a person has the right to open carry their gun unless otherwise prohibited by state or federal law?
Well, Your Honor, we would say no, and I would say because of the conflict analysis that would be presented. If you look at the American Financial Services case, which the state puts a lot of emphasis on, that particular case was a narrowly defined predatory lending set of laws that adopted in large measure federal law. It actually adopted federal law within the confines of state law. This particular law does not do that. It does not recognize, it only recognizes that federal law exists. It doesn't make it part of state law. Federal law does not preempt local governments from regulating. That's well recognized. And so federal law is not preemptive. State law is not preemptive with regards to 318 unless it is a general law that we're in actual conflict with. That's simply not presented. The state has not adopted federal law in its entirety as part of state law, and even if they did, it has no preemptive effect. They cite to the 2923.22C, I think, is actually incorporating federal law. It incorporates one specific statute in 922B3, I believe, and that specific statute deals with interstate sales. The city is not regulating interstate sales, and certainly that does not establish federal law as being preemptive of state law. The fact of the matter is, Your Honor, that local laws are not they're not anti-constitution unless we violate the Constitution. Our laws have been upheld. And as was recognized in the concurring opinion in Baskin, and I see my time is
Mr. Singletary, I've been trying to get a question in here. On the Clyde case, it seems to me that Clyde, if you look at it very carefully, there's precedent that has been established to call 9.86 a general law. And would we have to overrule Clyde to follow your argument?
Your Honor,
there's a lot of language there, and it was a 4-3 decision, but the precedent is this is a general law that the state has determined to regulate in the field. Any conflict that the ordinance has must yield to the general state law.
Your Honor, I would say that, first of all, I don't read Clyde as finding 9.68 to be a general law.
If you look at paragraphs 20 on, from page paragraph 20, and I think paragraph 40 is specifically talking about 9.86 and using the term general law.
But I think when the court went on to analyze beyond those particular paragraphs, that it was recognized that even though the state is saying it wants to preempt, the Constitution's immutable on that point, and this court didn't do a preemption analysis. If 9.68 was considered a general law after Clyde, then this court, I don't believe, would have gone on with the general law analysis comparing the Clyde ordinance to the state general law, not 9.68, but actually the concealed carry law. This court did that, and this court found conflict. 9.68, the only thing we would be in conflict with regards to 9.68 is the fact that we have laws, period. Mm-hmm. 968, like 1.63, can only be read as a general law if it actually forms part of a general law package itself. The detective, Ohio North Olmsted case involving the detectives, the state did not do away with city's ability to pass ordinances. The same ordinance that said we couldn't pass registration fees for private detectives says that they can't conflict with our local laws as long as we don't conflict with their particular laws.
So if I understand you, it's your interpretation of general law. You're saying you still would be allowed to fill in the blanks in areas that the law does not cover.
Yes, as long as we are not in conflict with a particular general law, because this law does not cover all pertinent areas of the law, and it's actually, in striving for uniformity, it is taking away from the city's ability to understand its local conditions and its ability to regulate for its citizens in the absence of being in conflict with a general law.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
Section
Mr. Singletary.
Section 3, Article 18 supports this. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Meiser, you have almost 3 minutes.
So, Mr. Meiser, is it the interpretation of general law that may be the key to this? Because as I understand, opposing counsel, it's the idea of general law being more narrow, and if there's an area that wasn't addressed by the general law, the ordinance may then speak to those regulations.
And I have 2 points on that, Your Honor. The first relates to the existing case law, and the second relates to the right at issue. And I'll actually take the second first. Mr. Singletary seems to have a presumption that gun rights are regulable so long as there's not a specific ban in the state law. But the whole point of 9.68 is that the General Assembly recognized that there is a fundamental right to bear arms, and that the U.S. Supreme Court has recognized that right also in 2 cases in the last several years. And so the General Assembly has actually said that the presumption is that there is a fundamental right to bear arms, and it's not regulable unless we have said so in a proper way. As to the case law...
Counsel, you're essentially saying, because constitutions aren't self-implementing, that this is the General Assembly's stab at saying the Second Amendment essentially guarantees it's a free-for-all where firearms are concerned. There can be no regulation whatsoever in the state of Ohio, period.
That's clearly not what the General Assembly has said, Your Honor. Instead, there are a whole host of provisions regulating firearms under state law.
But that's it.
And federal law as well, Your Honor.
If we haven't done it, it's preempted.
That's correct. But the General Assembly has done a whole lot with respect to guns. And if they hadn't done, if there did not exist...
But Cleveland feels they haven't done enough.
And
they're using the Home Rule Amendment to say you can't just throw a blanket preemption out there.
And we agree with that, Your Honor. But the question under Canton, the first step of Canton, is whether there exists a comprehensive regulatory regime. Comprehensive doesn't mean exhaustive. It doesn't mean that every single conceivable aspect of the particular subject matter is banned. What it means is that a whole range of aspects of the particular subject matter are regulated, and that is clearly true with respect to firearms. As to
wouldn't it be a more fair characterization of what the General Assembly has done is to deregulate rather than regulate firearms? I mean, isn't that the thrust of much of what they've been doing in the last few years?
I think that what the General Assembly is doing is striking a balance between the fundamental right to bear arms and the need for restrictions on firearms as dangerous weapons.
But where are they moving the line? I guess that's what I'm asking you. They're moving it in favor of less regulation or in favor of more?
They've drawn a line, Your Honor, that creates, as I said earlier, a ceiling on gun regulations. There exists on the books a wide array of regulations and restrictions placed on firearms, both under state and federal law. But the General Assembly has said, unless we raise that ceiling, the ceiling may not be raised because of the thrust of the Second Amendment and the Ohio Constitution's fundamental right to bear arms. As to Justice Lansinger's earlier question also about comprehensive laws and the Canton test, I do think that the Clyde and AFSA cases, as well as the Baskin case that Mr. Singletary referenced, all establish very clearly what, first of all, what the test is for comprehensive laws, but also that a comprehensive set of laws does exist with respect to firearms. Clyde says as much. In fact, the direct quote is that statewide comprehensive handgun possession laws exist. And in Baskin, although Mr. Singletary submitted that the court held that handgun laws in Baskin are not comprehensive, on the contrary, everyone, including the city of Cincinnati, in the Baskin case agreed that there are comprehensive firearms laws. And the Baskin case was about whether or not there existed a conflict. And the lack of an expression by the General Assembly of an intent for its state regime to be exclusive is what gave rise to the lack of a conflict there. I see that
Mr. Meiser, I have a question for you. Justice Lansinger asked whether Clyde would have to be overturned in order for the city of Cleveland to prevail here. What's your response?
I said earlier that it's not 100% dispositive, but I think that the footwork that the court would have to do to get around it would be very fancy indeed, and that the statement by the reason it's not 100% dispositive is because 9.68 was not the square provision that the court was looking at with respect to concealed carry. But in finding a comprehensive regime, the court looked not only at the concealed carry provisions, but also at 9.68. And so on that piece of the Canton analysis, I think that Clyde is awfully hard for Cleveland to get around.
Another question here. In the event a city like Cleveland or any other municipality, would their recourse be to petition through their legislators legislation from the General Assembly to address their concerns?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. And the same was true in the AFSA case, where Cleveland was barred from enacting predatory lending laws. But always the cities have the power to go to their representatives and ask for some relief from the General Assembly with respect to the particular regulatory regime.
So they're not precluded from accomplishing their ends. There is an avenue available.
That's correct, Your Honor. And that is why we asked the court to reverse the 8th District. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Meiser. Court's going to take a short break at this time.